Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 140. We're in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. And at this point, this is what Jesus Christ is telling to his disciples and to all those who claim to be his followers to this very day. If you love me, what is love? As Paul made it very plain in Romans, chapter 13 and verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the law. When you walk in the law of God, when you walk in the instructions of God and the teachings of God, this is the definition of love. This is what determines whether you love or you hate. You see? It's not love to disobey God, to do just the opposite of what he says, to do your own thing. And so it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the keeping of the commandments of God is conditioned or the fact that either you love or you don't. If you don't love him, you're going to come up with all kinds of excuses not to keep his commandments. And so John, later on in his ministry, in his old age, when he wrote to the people of God at large, as we read in 1 John chapter 5, he repeated, well, throughout his epistles, he repeated this theme all the time, the obedience to the commandments of God. As it says in chapter 3 and verse 24. And you can read it again and again and again throughout his epistles. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. As I said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you do keep my commandments, you say, and my word is in you, then you abide in me and I abide in you. And God is not a God of lawlessness. And his children cannot be either if they are going to walk in him and he's going to walk in them. And so it says, now he who keeps his commandments abide in him, and he, that is he, Jesus Christ, in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And what is it that Peter said to the Sanhedrin? God gives the Spirit only to those who obey him. Not those who claim the law is done away with. You see, not those who want to do their own thing. And so in chapter 5, he repeated that again in different words. He says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children, that we love the children of God. In other words, in our relationship with one another, how do we know that we love them? When we love God and keep his commandments. You see? Because one of his commandments is love your neighbor or love your friend as yourself. And he gave us all kind of rules and regulations and laws that govern our mind, our actions, our thoughts, our feelings, our behavior, our conduct, our perspective on life, our concepts of whatever. You see, the law of God governs every aspect of our life. It's not just a legal code. Most people are extremely ignorant about it, and the teachers are very blind and dumb, you see, and naked and blind and wretched. They don't even know what the law of God is all about. They always think about it in terms of a legalism. You know, there is law here and there is grace here. We're under grace, we're not under the law. You know, we're not interested in those strict laws. They don't even know what the law is because they do not know God. They don't know Christ. His Spirit is not in them. And so John says, you know, the apostle of love, as some people call him. What is love? They don't know what love is. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what the apostle John was. A person who obeyed the law from the heart with his all of being, you know, all of his being and heart, and so he taught others. This is what made him the apostle of love. It's not just a question of emotions and feelings and sentiments. All these things are also governed by love, are governed by the law. And so it says, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. The only way you can love God is by keeping his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love God. You don't love God, you don't love his people. You see? God gave us a planet, an earth, and he commanded us to take care of it as a command. Instead of that, we abuse it, we pollute it, we defile it, we contaminate it. And we cannot say that we love God when we do it. You see? And he created all these people all around us. And he commanded us to love one another. And we cannot do it by abusing them and hating them and speaking evil of them and doing harm to them. You see? That's not love, that's hatred. That's why God gave us a law. To teach us what is right, what is wrong. What is love, what is hatred. What is good, what is not. Yet people are so insane, just got it into their head without even thinking about it. That law is not for us. Well, try to drive on the road without law. And everybody does that which is right in his own sight. And you never know who's going to cross the street, you know, when you try to go through the intersection. And nobody pays attention to the, you know, to the signals. You see, green, yellow, light, you know, the, you know, red, that is, you know, they just do whatever they want. You're going to have chaos and confusion and anarchy. In the absence of law, that's what happens. There is no life without law. You see? Even the devil governs by law. Only his law is the law of the flesh. You have either the law of the spirit or the law of the flesh. Shows you how insane religion is. That is the way, you know, those who despise the law of God. And so, this is what John says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, which teach us what love is all about. And then he says in verse 3, for this is the love of God. For, you know, in case people don't know what it is. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You see? This is what the love of God is all about. This is what he talked about when people say, well, if God is love, well, how come? Because we are disobedient to his law. That's how come. We bring on us all these curses and evil, and then we blame God for it. And our lunacy and insanity, and the ones who are the most guilty in that are the clergy. They are the most lawless people on the face of the earth. They give you a form of religion, and yet they despise the law of God. You see? It's not a coincidence that you see a lot of people today in religion, certain, you know, religion, and you find the same problem in others, and it's not unique to them, where they, on one hand, they're supposed to be the spiritual shepherds of the people, teach them how to walk in love, on the other hand, you know, they sexually abuse them, or, you know, abuse them in other ways too. You see, these people don't love the law of God. If they loved the law of God, if they walked in the love of God, they wouldn't be doing this kind of things. Now, this is nothing in comparison to what they used to do in the past. And so he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, they are not grievous, because that's exactly what the false ministers of the devil are telling people. The law of God is harsh. It's not for us. It's strict. It's not good for us. It's burdensome. You see? These are not the ministers of God. And yet people in their ignorance, they follow them because it's convenient. You know, people would rather live in a world where they don't have to do, you know, what they don't want to do. You know, they tell God, you know, get out, you know, just, you know, I'll worship you and praise you and all that, but keep out of my, you know, keep your nose out of my business. I want to do my own thing. Well, that's what the false ministers have taught humanity for ages to do, and that's why people follow the false religion instead of the true one, because the true one is demanding. You got to have discipline. You have to control yourself, control your passions and emotions. You cannot behave in the manner that we do, you know. We cannot behave that way and think that we walk in love. And people don't like that. Try to tell a little kid, you know, go this way, you know, he wants to go the other way. Try to tell teenagers to do this, no, they don't, you know, they want to do anything else but what you tell them. That's in our nature. We're rebellious by nature because the nature of the devil is in us from the beginning of life. And that's why the law of God is there for our protection and safety, for our own good, not against us. You see? And that's what Christ is saying here. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you don't, you don't love me. And you can say all you want that I love the Lord. If you do not keep my law, my Torah, of which he said, don't think that I came to do away with it. I came to fulfill, to magnify. That's what it means to magnify. Make greater, more honorable. You see? Not to do it for you. You see? Yet that's the insanity that is being taught. Well, Christ did it for me. Well, my dad, you know, he goes down the road and he drives, you know, in accordance with the law of traffic and things like that. What does that mean? I don't have to do it? Because he did it for me? That's total nonsense. Well, that's the way the world functions. People like that don't love God. And if they say they do, You see, they are liars. And that's again what John said in his epistle. You know, those that claim that they love God and they do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them, and the world is full of them. In every given religion, in every given area of life, in politics, in business, in any conceivable area of life, you see them everywhere. Why? Because they all hate the law of God. That's why. That hatred is in them. They don't even realize where they got it from. And so he makes it very plain. If you love me, keep my commandments. There is no other way to have a relationship with God but by the love that we have toward his law, which we see and realize and understand it is for us. It is good. It's not against us. Verse 16, and it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, speaking about the Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. That is, that it may abide. And those of pagan origin, they brought with them their pagan ideas of the Trinity, and a lot of people don't realize that. That was a pagan teaching. And they just, you know, supposedly came into Christianity, what they called Christianity, and brought it with them, and now they imposed it on these teachings, you know, and took them totally out of context. And in the process, they began to teach that as if it is truth. And they can go, you know, all over the scriptures and prove it to you that it is truth, and they forget about all the statements that make it very plain that it's not, just the opposite, and so forth. And for those who want to go more through it, we devoted one lesson to it in the first series, a third lesson, I believe, or the fourth. And, you know, if that's not good enough for people, no matter what you give them, it's not good enough. But as we go along, we're going to mention a few things here and there about the Spirit, as we did in the past. And so it says, if you are willing to abide by my law, if you are willing to love me, then I'm going to give you a Spirit, because one of the purposes of the Spirit is to lead us to truth. The law of God is the truth. The lies that people tell each other are not the truth. You know, the law is done away with. Christ did it for us. It's an old harsh monster. He came up with all the strict rules and regulations, and that for the Jews and not for us. You see, all these are lies. And the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us to lies, so you know those guys do not have the Holy Spirit. They're liars when they claim that they do. And so it says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Spirit. Because the Spirit that is in us now was defiled and polluted from a very young age. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit of God. His nature, his very mind, his very spirit to reside in us, and to help us to overcome the law of the flesh. You see, that law that causes us to be rebellious. And so it says, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. Now here they put him. It doesn't see him nor knows him. You know, once they believe, you know, in this pagan doctrine, therefore they're going to alter the meanings, and they're going to alter the words. You see? Throughout the entirety of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is always presented as a female, in the female person. What do you mean a female? Well, you say car, and she's, you know, she's a good car. You see? It doesn't make the car a woman. You see? It's just a matter of language. The use of a language. The Holy Spirit is an it. You see? It's not a he, it's not a she. Even though it's presented in the Hebrew Scriptures, generally speaking, in the feminine form. You see? And wisdom is presented in the feminine form, and it is described as if it is a woman. But it's not a woman. You see? And the Holy Spirit is not a woman. It's the power of God. That's the essence that emanates from God. You see? In every man he puts a spirit. That spirit is not somebody inside us. And it's not a he and it's not a she. That's our spirit. That's our electricity. That's the juice of the battery, so to speak. And as James would say, you know, the spirit without a body is nothing, and the body without a spirit is nothing. You need the two together, just like you need electricity in a machine. A machine without electricity cannot function. That's what the spirit is all about. You know, it's a mind of God. That's his essence, his emanation. And he places a spark of that in us. And originally, when we were brought into existence, he put the Spirit in man in us, and after that he adds his very Spirit, which is him, a part of him. And only God can do that. We cannot put our spirit in somebody else, you know. All we can do is teach them the same values that we have, and in that we, you know, part of us is in them, you see. As Paul would say, you know, when you gather to the Corinthians together, you know, to render judgment, and my spirit is with you. That means my teaching, whatever I taught you and all that, it's as if I'm there in spirit, and you see, that's me. That's not somebody inside me. And so it is the Spirit of God. That's God. And God sends His Spirit, a part of Him, and inhabits the whole universe and eternity through that Spirit also. You see, these are divine teachings, and people of carnal nature who hate the law of God, they don't even know what it means. And so they come up with all kind of superstitions. Pagan, you know, the Trinity is one of them, one of the major ones. And so it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. You see? Just like Paul says, my spirit with you. And based on the teachings that I gave you, you make the judgment. And so he says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. You see? How does he come to us? Through his spirit. So he's speaking about himself, and he's speaking about the Spirit of the Father, who is going to abide in us. You're not talking about somebody inside Jesus and somebody inside the Father. I'm the one who's going to come to you and abide in you and live my life in you in spirit. It's His Spirit that lives in us. That's Him. You see? It's not a separate person, separate entity. That's a pagan doctrine, you know, that perverted the Scriptures to make you believe that it is a person. And so they use, you know, He, pronoun He, instead of it. Or the Spirit of God, the power of God, the essence of God, His very mind that He injects into us. God can do it. We cannot do that. We can just influence people by our conduct and behavior. You see, in that sense, it's our spirit that is in us that is influencing them. And Jesus Christ, this is what He says, I will come to you by my spirit a little while longer, and the world sees me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. I am going to give you eternal life. At that day you will know that I am in my Father. How is He in His Father? You see? Just like a husband and wife, how are they inside each other? They live together, they share life, they share hopes and dreams, they talk about it, you know, they share emotions and feelings, they are inside each other. They have children, and they teach them properly, you see, and they teach them their values, and they show them affection and love and kindness and mercy, and they become inside their children. And when the children respond and have a relationship with their parents, and their children are in their parents, it's all a spiritual matter, because each one of us has a spirit. That's how we can be inside each other. It's not somebody inside us, a separate person that comes out of ourselves and goes into somebody else. It's us. And that's what he's saying here. I'm in my Father, and you in me. Because each one of us has a spirit. And as we walk with Him and have a relationship with Him and have feelings toward Him and emotions, it says we're loving with all of our being and heart and mind and emotions and feelings and sentiments and everything that is in us. That's how we are in Him, and He is in us. That means our spirit. You see, it's not our finger or our head or our leg or our toe. It's the spirit that is in us. With that, we have a relationship with Him, and we abide in Him. That's what the spirit is all about. It's not a separate person. Neither it is in us, nor it is in Him, you know, a separate person. It's Him. Because we are body and spirit. And that day, he says, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's a real trinity that Satan, the devil, has deceived humanity to overlook, to be confused about. That's a real trinity. God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, who is a Holy Spirit, you see, Jesus Christ, who is a divine being, and is a spirit, is a Holy Spirit, and us, to whom He gives the Holy Spirit, you see, who are now presently flesh and blood, and the future divine beings also, and we all have this relationship, even while we are now in the flesh, just like little children, you know, they have a relationship with their parents, even when they're little babes. You know, they smile at them and they make funny noises and things like that, and they tickle them, and then they love them and hug them and kiss them. You know, children have relationship with parents, parents with children. You see, it's a spirit that is in us, it's just not the body. And that's how we form the Trinity. This is the Trinity that God taught, not the pagan Trinity and the false doctrine that the devil taught people. Well, there is a Father, there is a Son, and there is a separate entity who is inside them. You see, God in three, and that's it. That's a circle, a closed circle, and nobody can enter into that family, which is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, lies that was ever taught. That's what the Trinity is all about, one of the biggest lies that the devil has taught humanity. Therefore, they think, well, we'll never be a part of God, part of the divine family, when he created us to be in his image and likeness, to enter into his divine family, to sit on his throne, as Christ told us, he that overcomes, in the first 2-3 chapters of Revelation, you are going to sit on my throne just like I overcame and sat on the throne of the Father. You see? That's the ultimate of man. That's the real Trinity, and Satan the devil twisted the truth and taught people lies, and people believe it instead of the truth. And now the truth seems to be to them a lie, and a lie is a truth. That's how mixed up we are. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And I wonder why these people are so blind and confused and naked and poor and miserable and wretched, as Christ would tell them. They hate the law of God. And therefore they cannot love him. Therefore they cannot understand spiritual matters. That's why the devil can get into them and scramble their brains and teach them all kind of lies, and they believe it. And so he who has my commandments and keeps them. That says, well, Christ did it for me. Some people say, I don't need to keep the Sabbath. They realize that Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath. You know, we should keep the Sabbath. There is no place in the Bible that teaches about Sunday. Even the Catholic Church makes it very plain. You read in their encyclopedia and their writings, they make fun of the Protestants who claim that, you know, that they're separate from the Catholics. They're not under their dominion. And yet they keep the Sabbath on Sunday. You see, which is an oxymoron. You cannot keep Sabbath on Sunday. Sabbath is the seventh day. You don't keep the seventh on the eighth. You've got to be insane to do that. And that's what they are. You see, when you despise the law of God, you become insane. When you love the law of God, you have a sound mind. And the whole world is deceived, therefore insane. And all those who hate the law of God are insane people, spiritually speaking. And they think that they are okay. Verse 21, he says, and it's very plain, he who has my commandments, my teachings, my Torah, and he is the God of Israel, mind you. Don't forget that. And he gave the law in Sinai forever. That's what he told them. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. He said it in person when he came in the flesh. And people don't believe him, yet they claim to be his followers, and then they think they are in the truth, in the light. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Anybody else is a liar who claims that he is my servant or he loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And the only way you can love God is by keeping his commandments, his Torah. You don't keep the Torah, you don't love him. You're deceiving yourself, and the Father doesn't love you. You see, you are not in the love of the Father or the Son, and therefore you have a difficulty loving one another properly. And so he says, my Father will love him, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Because if we do not keep his commandments, he's not going to be in our life. He's not going to manifest himself in our lives. And you can pretend all you want that he lives his life in you. Apart from his commandments, there is no way for him to live his life in you. It is through his commandments, which are spirit. As I said, my words are spirit, that he lives his life in us. And that's how our parents live their lives in us, by the teachings that they gave us, by the values that they taught us. And if we despise them and reject them, our parents don't live their lives in us. That's reality. A lot of people need a reality check. And then verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. You see, there is another Judas, and people forget that. They just despise the name Judas, and they forget about the other Judas, the other apostle, and the brother of Jesus Christ, also Jude or Judas. He said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Anyway, you know, thinking carnally about it. I mean, if you're going to be in, manifested to us in the sense of the physical appearance, well, everybody's going to see you too. Well, he's not talking about that. He's talking about he's going to manifest himself to us through his law, through his spirit, and his law is spirit. As Paul said, the law is spiritual. I'm carnal, sold under sin. You see? So he's wondering, you know, how are you going to manifest yourself to us? Well, he's not speaking physically. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, he will keep my commandments, he will keep my teachings, he will keep my Torah. And my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, the only two of us, will come to him and make our home with him. You see, if you have a Trinity, he would have said, my Father, me, and the Holy Spirit will come and make our abode in you. He didn't say that, because as human as beings, there's only the Father and the Son. The Spirit is their essence, their power, their emanation. You see, it's not a person. So throughout all the greetings, you know, that the apostles addressed to the congregations, to the churches, they always gave them greetings in the name of the Father and Jesus Christ. Never mentioned the Holy Spirit. And if it was a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God of the Holy Spirit, you know, that wouldn't make sense. To totally ignore the, you know, that third person. Well, they did not, because as beings, there are only two. The Father and the Son. And the Father is on his throne, and Jesus Christ is pictured oftentimes standing right next to him, or sitting on his throne with him, not inside him. You see? So this demonic concept, you know, three in one, that's all it is. It's a demonic concept. It's an insane concept. That's why nobody understands it. You never see a person hanging around, you know, and a couple of people coming out of him and going back in. You see? That's insanity. Yet, when people are insane, when you lose your mind, you know, well, you believe all kind of deceptions like that, and then, you know, you think, well, you know, it's got to be right because, you know, a preacher told me that, or the pastor, or my cardinal, or my pope, or whatever, my religion. And so this is what he's saying here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, because that's the only way you're going to show your love toward me, by obedience. Because if you disobey me, you obviously say, I don't care about you, I don't love you. If children don't love their parents, they don't keep their word. But if they love their parents, they're going to follow their instructions. They're not going to be rebellious. And so he says, if you do that, then my Father will love him, and we, both of us, will come to him and make our home with him, with a person who is obedient. As Peter said, God gives the Spirit only to those who obey him. That's the only way God is going to dwell in us, not through lawlessness, but through obedience. And those who are disobedient to him, despise his law, he's not going to make his home in them. So you call him, you know, you can invite him to your heart all you want. If you are despising his law, he's not going to be there. You see, he doesn't appear in the presence of anarchy and rebellion and hatred against his law and contempt for it. Because that's his very nature, mind, and character. And it is a spiritual nature, you see. And the law is spiritual. And so this is what he's saying here. He who does not love me, you see, he who loves me keeps my word, my teachings, my commandments. But he who does not love me does not keep my words. He does not keep my law. He comes up with all kinds of excuses why he shouldn't do it. Yeah, it's nailed to the cross. It's old stuff. It's the other God who gave them strict laws. He did it for me, and so forth, and all those lies that they come up with. And he makes it very plain. He who does not love me does not keep my words. That's why they don't love me. You see? It's as simple as that. You can kid yourself all you want and make all kind of contortions around it and twist it whichever way you want. This is what he's going to tell you when the time comes. I never knew you. Because the only people that God knows are the people that obey his commandments. And these are the only people he's going to come, as he said, with the Father and reside in them. And so he makes it very plain. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine. This is not Christianity. This is not my teachings. This is not Christian doctrines, principles, you know, ethics and all kind of things like that, as people call them. They call them by those names. You see, he didn't come calling it by those names. Also, the very teachings that we were given from the Garden of Eden. And he's the one that's the God of Israel that gave it to Israel. But all that is from the Father, and both of them have the same mind, heart, and spirit, and so they share it. You see? So he says, you know, this is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And since he walks in it, and loves it, and agrees with it, then it becomes his too. And when we do likewise, it becomes ours too. You see? That's why Christ oftentimes addressed the Jews. You know, doesn't it say, in your law? You see, it was given to you, and you claim that you abide in it and walk in it. That makes it your law. Just like you say, you know, the law of the land. You know, you walk in the law of the land. Well, these are your laws. And you obey them. You cannot be rebellious against the laws of the land and you claim that you love your country. You see, because a part of the country, what makes the country work and function in harmony and unity and have people helping one another and caring about one another, they have a common law. If you despise that, what do you have? You know, you are an alien from outer space. And so he says, these words, these teachings, these instructions, you see, these are not mine. They are the Father's. And yet what the false prophets have taught all this time? Well, you know, there is an Old Testament law, that's, you know, the law of the Father. And, you know, we don't follow that. So, as you know, it's for the Jews. If they want to walk in that, it's okay with us. Now, we've got our own law, the law of grace, the law of Jesus Christ. That's our God. Christ made it very plain. No, that's not the way it is. Everything that I taught you is from the Father. It's not even mine. You see? Well, that exposes the liars and the thieves and the robbers of the faith of many who deceived them into darkness and told them it's light. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, you know, the Holy Spirit, that's what it's called, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, because His very Spirit, which is going to also reside in us, is going to help us, lead us to truth, give us the strength, give us the power. And it's a part of His emanation. It's not a person that comes and lives His, you know, life in us. That's why He can pour the Spirit. You see, you don't pour a person. As I said, He's going to pour the Spirit on all flesh. How do you take one person and pour it on everybody? You see, that's nonsense. But when you have the Spirit that emanates from Him, He can put it in everybody. As He told Moses, you know, you need some help. You got 70 people there who are going to help you. I'm going to take the Spirit which I put in you, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take, you know, some of it and give a little bit to each one of them so all of them can have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to take a person there and dissect it to 70 pieces, you know, and give a piece of that person, you know, supposedly God, the Holy Spirit, to one of the 70s, you know, to each one of the 70s. You know, an awful lot of nonsense out there and insanity. And, what you know, when a person is insane, it's just insane. There's no way you can turn him around unless you remove the insanity, and only God can do it. And so he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. You see? Why in my name? Because I'm the one who is going to reside in you. That's my Spirit, and also the Spirit of the Father. We're all two separate beings, but they, you know, we are the same in many ways. And just like you have a father and a mother. A father and a mother are not one person. They are two. But when they got married and they had a sexual intercourse, they became one. Well, it's a metaphor. You see, so it is a metaphor for the Father and the Son to become one. They're not one person. You know, it's not God, you know, three in one. One in so many ways, in every way. That makes them one. So the Father is going to send the Spirit in my name, and this Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. For God is going to open your mind by that Spirit, that power, that emanation that comes from Him. Because it's Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of truth, Spirit of love, Spirit of affection, Spirit of power, Spirit of a sound mind. That's the Spirit of God. That's the nature of God, the mind of God. You see? And these things are spiritually discerned. And obviously, those who do not have the Holy Spirit, you know, they can read it all they want. They don't get it. So they invent their own concepts and ideas, and they claim, well, this is the truth, and they teach it to others. That's what God called vomit. And that's what the clergy generally does, 99.9% of them. And so he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, do I give it to you. It's not the kind of peace that you have in the world, which is a phony one, not a right one. It's not a piece of paper that you write. When you don't have the nature of God in you, when you're not obedient to the law of God, you're not going to have peace. As Isaiah said, you know, there is no peace to the wicked. You walk in darkness and disobedience to the law of God, how can you have peace? Even when you sign a piece of paper, you know, if you have animosity in your heart, if you have bigotry in your heart, if you know you're going to play games with it and break rules and just pretend, you aren't going to have real genuine peace. That comes only when you're obedient to the law of God and are given to obedience to the nature and the mind of God. Then you're going to have peace by nature. It becomes an outcome of that byproduct. And so that's the kind of peace he's going to give us. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. You see, he was going at that time, 2,000 years down the road, he was going to come back. They didn't know that. They thought that literally he was going to come back in their age. And so they went out preaching that. And everybody believed it. And then they found out nothing happened. And so they thought, you know, the apostles were lying to them. Well, they just did not understand that he's speaking spiritually to them. You see? And the mere fact that he's going, when he comes back to resurrect them, and they're not aware of the passage of time between the moment they died and the split second later when they are resurrected. So in the ultimate sense, you would say, he came back to them. But if you don't understand it from God's point of view, that 2,000 years would go by while they are dead all this time, you're not going to understand that. And so this is what he's saying here. I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And yet in the Jesus religion, the Jesus movement, the Jesus praise, you know, worship and things like that, they in essence elevate Jesus Christ above the Father, when Jesus Christ directed everything toward the Father as the source of it all. So where does that leave us? But as idol worshippers, when we behave in that manner. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, speaking about the devil, the one that deceived all men to believe all the lies, and therefore that's how they came up with a new religion called Christianity, and then Judaism, was also a religion that developed as, during that time into something altogether different than the biblical Judaism, you see. And what you have today is far out from what it used to be even in the days of Christ, with all the do's and don'ts at the head of the time. They would never recognize the Judaism of today, even those rabbis of the time. And so in verse 30 he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And those who follow the ruler of this world and believe all of his lies, they have nothing in Christ. That's why he's going to tell all those who will come to him claiming, Lord, Lord, we served in your name, we prophesied in your name, we taught in your name, you were in our congregations. That is, you know, we thought that you were. I was wishful thinking. And he will tell them, I don't even know you. You see? And they have nothing of Jesus in them. They have all the lies about Jesus, but not the real Jesus in them. Not his spirit, not his law, not his commandments, not his teachings. Oh yeah, mixture of truth there, but full of errors, and therefore that makes it vomit, and it does not recognize it as his. Verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And the only way you can love the Father is by keeping his commandments. And so he says, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, that's how he loved him, by obedience, so I do. I don't say, well, you know, you did it for me. You know, that's strict, very harsh. It's not for me, done away with. Don't come up with, you know, all kind of this, you know, the teenage syndrome, as I call it. You want to do your own thing. Your father is an old fogey, you're not going to listen to him, you think you know better, you're a smart aleck, things like that. This is not Jesus Christ, and his disciples cannot be that way either. You see, he was a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and so must we. There is no way around it. And if you say the law is done away with, you're out of that kingdom. It's as simple as that. You'll never be there. So that's how we love the Father, and that's how we should love the Father and love Him, by keeping His commandments and do it. No excuses, no justifications, no playing around it. And so He says, I am a commandment keeper. Well, in essence, He's telling them, you should be too. Arise, let us go from here. And then He continues, we don't know exactly how all these things are happening here. What does it mean, arise, let us go from here? Because He's still talking to them, whether they were still sitting there, or along the way continues to speak to them. Chapter 15, verse 1, He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And as we read several times before, where God described Himself as the vine dresser and His people, you know, Israel and Judah, as the vineyard, and He took care of that vineyard and put a hedge around it, and He watered it, and you know, fertilized it, and things like that. And He expected to get some good fruit out of it. Instead of that, He said, "I got a lot of bad things." And so, that's the same analogy here. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." You cannot bear fruit when you're disobedient to the commandments of God, to the law of God, to the Torah of God. It's as simple as that. And whatever fruit that you bear, if it is not the laws of God, those are not the kind of fruits He's going to accept. That's why do those people who say, I never knew you, because He does not accept any of their good works, any of their preaching, any of their teachings, because they didn't proceed from Him, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from the devil. Mixture of truth and error, because the devil always works like that. He'll never give you only lies. He appears as an angel of light, so He's going to give you enough light there, you know, to deceive you, to mislead you. And then His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. So I'm going to tell you a lot of good things too. That's what Christ said. Many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. They're going to say all kind of good things about me, and then deceive the many. You see, that's the method of the devil. And people follow it, and they don't know it. These people are not going to abide in Christ, and they're not going to bear fruit. And so it says, every branch in me, and the only way you can be in Him is when you're obedient to His law, and then you're going to bear fruit. So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. It's as simple as that. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So if you are not obedient as it should be, you know, just take it easy, and take it lightly, you are not busy studying the Word of God, day and night, meditating on it, understanding more and more and more, you know, not only the facade of the law, but the innuendos, you know, the ramifications and the depth of it and things like that. And so you grow deeper and deeper and deeper in the nature and the mind and the character and the personality of God. And therefore, you love it more. You seek more ways to please Him in accordance with His will, not your will. You see? Well, when we do not do that, the Father looks at us and says, well, these people need a little bit pruning. They've got a lot of dead wood around, you know, their own good works. Verse 3, He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So what is it that cleanses us? When the teachings of God, the genuine, the pure teachings of God, the law of God comes to us, we're being washed from lies and deceptions and superstitions and all the stories that people told us. All the vomit and garbage that people, you know, put into our brains, just like they say by the computer, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you see. But the Word of God washes us and cleanses us. That means opens our eyes to see what is true and what is not. And when we walk in the truth, we are being washed. And if we don't, then we're walking in filthiness. You see, and most people walk in filthiness, and yet they think that they stand, they think that they are clean, they think that they are right in the sight of God. And they do all kind of good works in His name, and then they come to Him and says, I never even knew you. You see? That's what He's talking about here. You are already clean. Because they were not rebellious. They didn't say, well, you did it for us, and it's down on the cross and things like that. And then He says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The only way you can do it is through the law. There is no other way. You know, there is His teaching. That's what the law is. His teachings, His doctrine, His principles, His ethics, His way of life, His value system, as some would put it, whatever terminology you want to use. Every word that proceeds out of his mind, it's a law, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, you do it if you feel like it. That's the only way we can abide in him. Without his law, there is no way to do it. Try to practice law as a lawyer by despising the law. Coming up with your own ideas. You'll never be able to do it. Physicians have to do it, electricians have to do it, professionals have to do it. In every area of life you have to do it. There is no other way. You got to learn the profession which is governed by law and abide in it. Otherwise, you're just a charlatan, you're a deceiver, you're not a true person. That's what he's saying here. You abide in me and I in you, through my law, that is. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the only way you can abide in him is when you keep his commandments. And yet this is not what you hear from the pulpit, generally speaking. And you actually hear just the opposite. Don't worry about the law of God. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings all of God's people. Until the next lesson.